Life has been like really weird lately. I mean, life has been weird for the last like 2 years because of COVID or whatever.
Yeah, feels like reality shifting.
Yeah.
Not for the better.
No. And like, especially like in the UK and stuff, because we just kind of like got rid of all the COVID restrictions pretty much overnight. Stuff was starting to sort of feel normal again. But like, nobody, it was like, it was normal, but like no one wanted to trust it, if you know what I mean? Because we were all like tense and waiting for the next...
What's the next thing going to be?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, lo and behold, World War III.
Potentially. It's only potentially at the moment.
At least as of right now, as we're recording this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty crazy shit going on out in Eastern Europe at the moment with Russia invading Ukraine.
Also, the reason this episode is super late is because... I also wanted to wait for like a lot of the emotionalism to die down before, I guess, talking about it.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Like, I feel like when everyone's emotions are running high, it's just pointless.
Definitely. But it's,
unless you're one of those people who wants to benefit from,
well, that's what
like,
I was going to say,
drawing attention to yourself because there's, of like the plenty, heightened emotionalism.
There's plenty of people that. Or even just to scam people and like, you know, get money from them and like say they're fundraising for people and the money's going somewhere.
Yeah.
Even the big charities, bro, like that's not even the case. They're all a fucking scam.
Yeah.
Like it's all bullshit.
Yeah. I did that whole article I did about the whole BLM thing as well.
Yeah.
But it seems like heightened emotionalism is the thing these days. It's like... basically the nucleus of like the political matrix is stirring up a lot of emotions around something or making people feel like deep primal emotions like guilt, shame, fear, those sorts of things. Or worse, weaponizing people's sense of morality like against them. That's something that's like requires high emotionalism.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the reason why people... who get caught up in that sort of thing hate me so much because I'm like, they think I'm cold.
Mm.
Whereas
because you
I'm
don't
just,
like feed into
no,
the hype.
But it doesn't mean I don't feel anything. It just means that I'm not going to perform it. Like I, when it comes to trying to critically analyze something, like you do have to detach a little bit, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
You have to detach in order to be able to think about it critically.
Or even just to like, survive the constant onslaught of historical events that are happening in like the short space of however many fucking months and years is like you have to be pretty woo-way about it. You gotta channel your inner dude and just sort of
you
like
do have
roll
to
with
practice,
the punches
yeah
you know?
Some sort of like monastic detachment in order to remain rational and like sane. But it's difficult to do that, especially like when there's so much propaganda, especially around the conflict at the moment.
Mm.
So much propaganda is being pumped out on every single social media website. There are videos, stories, some of which have been proven to not even be true.
Some were from like video games.
Yeah.
I saw some from like, I think Call of Duty, one of them. And then I saw one of them was also, I think... one of these new fighting simulator games or whatever. I think some of the Ghost of Kiev stuff was like published with that footage.
Oh yeah.
Which is pretty dodgy.
But then, like, along with all of that emotionalism that's drummed up comes like no accountability. Cause a lot of the media outlets that ran with that shit didn't apologize afterwards. And these are the same ones that will like yell Source and Snopes and all of this at everyone else. But anything right now that's being churned out that like validates the idea that Russia is absolute evil and Ukraine and its allies are absolute good is sort of slipping past the media bubble and is embraced by it. But anything that's like that questions the narrative, the sort of consensus that arose almost immediately is seen as like Putin apologia.
Yeah.
And everybody, they're literally like labeling anyone who even has any, and there are lots of valid questions, some of which I'll list.
Mm.
But anyone who's even expresses any dissonance about the idea of Russia's absolute evil and America's absolute good and like Ukraine's absolute good, anyone who tries to point to nuance or moral gray areas gets lumped in the category of being like a fucking Putin stan.
Well, sometimes I like to just scroll through Facebook comments on articles about stuff just to kind of get like
temperature.
Yeah, get the temperature reading, see what people,
zeitgeist.
Or at least see what bots are being employed to promote whatever extra propaganda on top of the propaganda you're already reading in the fucking major newspaper or whatever the fuck. But like a lot, there was a big split of like people in the comments, I think, to saying basically America has no moral stance.
Of course it doesn't, and people,
well,
are
not even America, like the West has no moral stance really, or NATO has no moral stance.
Since when has anything the West done, you know,
had a moral stance?
Well, not that I'm not gonna go as far as to say that, because that's stupid. A lot of like dumb leftoid types would say something like that, but Western civilization has yielded a lot of great things. I don't think
any of it was from like an intention of bettering those people. A lot of the time, the expect, like,
you
if you're talking
about
like
anywhere,
you know,
in the world, power is
absolutely
power anywhere
absolutely
in the world. Okay, there are certain countries that didn't have like massive global hegemony, but like in every country around the world, the powerful like oppress its people.
Definitely.
You could, Nigeria is a fucking victim of British colonialism, but if you go there, the elite are even more brutal and fucked up to the people than like some of these fucking people that you call despots out in the world, including Putin. Our president is arguably, in Nigeria, is arguably
Buhari
is arguably worse than fucking Putin. All of them.
I saw on the Nigerian news that he was the least corrupt governor that Nigeria's ever had.
We've had like decades of like fucking paramilitary, like I could do an entire episode on Nigerian politics, because it's fucking hilarious and also sad and abysmal. But yeah, the idea that the West is uniquely evil is bullshit. The idea that Russia is uniquely evil is bullshit. It's just power doing what power does.
Whenever somehow like Nigeria and politics come up in the same conversation, which has happened, like, I don't know how, but like a couple of times when I've just been in like casual, like either at the pub or like the office or something.
It's because we're taking off. We're becoming a bit of a, you
everybody
know.
The first thing they say is, yeah, didn't they have like some guy called Good Luck Jonathan. As their president or whatever. That's literally the first question. It's like, was his name really Good Luck? Like, is that,
that's his name? That's what we have to name our son, Jake. If we have a little boy.
Good Luck.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God. But yeah, it's been pretty crazy. The heightened emotionalism, the performativity, the immediate consensus that formed as well. Like, it all gave me pause, because since when has anything, you know, in the last like couple of decades of expanding American imperialism and NATO in general, like when have they ever done anything for humanitarian purposes or for the purposes of like saving democracy or whatever? It's complete bullshit.
Yeah. The thing is,
I don't buy it.
What is like confusing to me, I guess, is sort of like the way that, you know, everyone is really fed up and gets frustrated with corporations kind of woke pandering and doing all the kind of virtue signaling and stuff like that. Well, that, you know, has all been proven to actually increase their credit ratings and all of that. So it like benefits them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure where the benefit is for them to cut all business ties with Russia.
I don't think it would ever happen.
It's already happened. This is all like what's going on. And like in the UK, Boris Johnson said we've done all these major sanctions on stuff, and then Keir Starmer, the opposition, is just like, they're not enough sanctions. Yeah. We need more.
The thing is, they can't really cripple the Russian economy, because number one, it would make the country incredibly, the country that has arguably either the first or second, we don't know, highest nuclear stockpile in the world, with a very uncertain fate, and that would be catastrophic for the entire world.
But that's what's happening.
And what they're trying to do is like sort of force a regime change or this or that. But even then, it's become absolutely taboo, which is really fucking annoying, to speculate that NATO expansion to the Russian border, and also to offer Ukraine sort of membership in NATO.
Prospective membership.
Like it's almost become taboo in certain like circles to even mention that as the case.
Yeah. When it's very really, obviously when it's the obvious, case.
Yeah. But it's because that this is because manufacturing of consent, like,
there's all sorts of bits of information that they decline to put in. You know how they will publish something now and say missing context or like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucking missing context for a lot of this stuff, right?
I can name so many different things that I've covered over the weekend that turned out to be fake.
There was that agreement at the end of the Soviet Union that basically said that NATO wouldn't expand out into that region of Europe.
Yes.
And then, like, gradually, like, it just happened.
Yep.
And no one really addressed it.
Yep.
And so how else would you kind of perceive that as
arming,
as Russia
collaboration,
and stuff?
All kinds of stuff has been going on. And
I'm not pro-Russia, by the way, but I just,
you
like...
You shouldn't even have to say that.
No,
and
but...
You shouldn't even entertain it. Like, that like, liberal cop that lives in your head needs to die.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't give a shit about what those people think. I don't give a fuck about what they say.
Yeah.
I don't care about what they call me because I'm not talking to them.
Yeah.
And they need to understand that they're not the arbiters of every fucking conversation, you know?
Yeah.
So fuck those people. Like, it goes without saying that being skeptical about what's going on, being skeptical about the consensus, the fact that Bernie Sanders sounds the exact same as, like, Mitt Romney, like, Glenn Greenwald said this, like, the fact that those two have the exact same line despite them being on opposite ends of the American political spectrum give you fucking pause.
That's what I was just saying about our situation as well. It's the same fucking thing. It's the same fucking thing.
The libs here are the ones who are hungriest for war. I mean, even in America, the American libs are also the ones that are the hungriest for war right now and are sort of enabling this sort of narrative of Putin as, like, this ultimate evil. But this shit has been prepped since, like, fucking... 2016 with, like, Russiagate, the hostility that was so... Well, even, like, before then, but the hostility back then, there was some, like, poll that was taken about whether people perceived Russia as a threat after Obama said he didn't. So Obama, the fucking Democrat darling Obama, said during that before his presidency ended that he didn't perceive Russia as, like, a threat to the United States. He didn't.
Mm.
He didn't perceive them as a threat to United States. And that was, like, the Democratic line for a really long time. Up until the 2016 election, when Hillary Clinton was losing to Donald Trump and the Democrats needed a scapegoat. And that was how all the whole Russiagate shit started. But now, because of all the scaremongering that's been going on in the media about Russia, a Gallup poll that was taken said that 52% of Americans now see the conflict between Russia and Ukraine as, like, vital to American interests.
That's scary.
And also 82% of Americans also have negative opinions about Russia. And you can't say that the screeching that's been going on over the last couple of years hasn't contributed to that. And then on top of that, you have the sort of libs and the Democrats in the media screaming about how Putin is evil, comparing him to Hitler. Well, I don't remember what magazine it was a couple of days ago that had a picture of Putin on the front cover with, like, a Hitler mustache.
The little tash.
Yeah, they put, like, a Hitler mustache.
You know, that was the Charlie Chaplin mustache before he ruined it for everyone else.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like...
But they don't want to talk about, like, Putin's real concerns or motivations around it. And there was, like, a Russian guy that was talking to this British doctor on YouTube. I forget his name, but he's kind of become quite popular in the last 2 years through the pandemic. Fact-checking all the fact-checkers and stuff, which has been kind of fun. But he was talking to this Russian friend of his, and he was explaining that the thing that doesn't get talked about is actually that it's not even, oh, you know, Russia just wants to expand into here and do whatever. Like, it's actually he doesn't think that the Ukrainian people are even going to miss what they don't have, being democracy, basically. And he's worried that more of those countries have, like, functioning democracy, that people want that in Russia. And he doesn't think that it exists.
It doesn't exist
and
anywhere.
And that, like, he just puts on the front of as the guy and has this vision for Russia or whatever, and that democracy doesn't really exist.
Well, that's always been the thing. Like, there's that whole thing about, like, I don't know what the academic term for it is, but it's, like, this idea of, like, post-Soviet disillusionment and the idea that the Russian attitude or the Russian zeitgeist is one of sort of utter nihilism.
Yeah.
Because the country has been through so many political cycles.
Traumas.
Yeah. It's just like this, like, so they're sort of attuned. They've attuned themselves to the illusion, the hyper-real kind of specter of politics. Adam Curtis talks about it in that, his latest documentary or whatever. Yeah. And I think that that's what the West is now kind of going through in and of itself.
Yeah.
But Russia went through it like far beyond. But the idea that like the West has democracy, that's the thing that people are starting to wake up now and realize, like the look at the whole thing with Trudeau and the fucking truckers.
But that's where
the
fact that
they were able to freeze motherfuckers' bank accounts.
That's why they won't talk
without
about
any
that,
due process.
That's why they won't talk about that fear or anything, or why he's friendly with Belarus and fucking China and places that, what democracy are you talking about? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's, or even illusion of democracy, should we say, are you talking about?
Yeah.
So, like, those are his allies. Yeah. It's not actually, like, even a communism anything anymore.
But it's, like,
it's
the
nothing
illusion,
to do with that.
What's the real wars that are being waged are the, is the war over the fucking illusion of democracy, basically, whether or not we should maintain it or be rid of it altogether. Or the other war that's being fought is also the war of Western hegemony.
Yeah.
The fact that the way this is handled depends on whether the West is going to keep its hegemony and its ability to sort of militarily dominate the globe. That's kind of the two, those are the two massive frontiers that are...
Yeah. Like, the way the guy explained it was, like, in Putin's mind, like, it was kind of better to have, like, a figure that actually had a coherent like vision for something that it were, and because it's all oligarchy anyway, it's all where the money takes you.
That is
how countries are run, regardless of where you are in the world.
So
like, he might as well at least just be the fucking figurehead of it, almost like the queen or whatever. And that having Boris Johnson, Theresa May, fucking all these cycle of like idiots that come in, it's just laughable, because it's an illusion and it's pointless. And he's seen every one of them since fucking like even before Tony Blair like come in and go, is actually quite insane to think about. And it's like kind of like, oh, but you're talking about someone that's basically like a king. Like, fucking...
Well, why don't we... Well, what's the point of pretending,
like,
in the West?
Putin's not even the king, bro. Yeah. Putin is, like, the guy the guy that's been able to be assigned that role.
Yeah.
There are guys behind Putin.
Of course,
like,
there
he's
is.
Not even the fucking... He's the face.
But you know what? He definitely needs to hire a better decorator, because all of those pictures coming out of his, like... office. I don't know if there is office.
Oh, with
or
the
whatever.
Long tables.
Yeah, it's so alienating and ugly.
He's like 70 or whatever, so he's been really COVID cautious, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
And then people were like,
but not just that.
So then
the
paranoia about Russia is literally then like Western leaders coming into the country. Some of them, like, so people like Bolsonaro and whatever took. And publicly said they took all of the Russian PCR tests and did all this stuff and went in and met Putin and was very buddy-buddy with him and all of that stuff. All the Western people were like, I don't trust your fucking Russian tests,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, that's so
fuck
stupid.
That.
What is this, some Dr. Strangelove
thing? You're
going to
test me.
Of, like, they're
you're,
trying to
no,
take our
the thing is, like,
fluids
you're
or whatever.
You're going to test me and then I'm going to be positive and then there's going to be some, you know...
KGB
maneuvering,
like,
maneuvering that happens,
and
now I'm in some fucking boxless room, and like, no one knows where the fuck I am. Like, that's how people think about Russia.
That's crazy.
So like
that's
they would,
crazy.
But it is and it isn't, because
that's
they are
crazy.
They like, the Russian government is shifty
as
fuck.
American
I know, but
government
it's just
is
like,
shifty. So our government
I know,
is shifty as fuck. We've literally locked Julian Assange in fucking Balmarsh prison and have kept him under fucking. We extradited him back to. Like, we're terrible
that
when it comes
shifty.
To human rights.
That was
the
shifty.
The West is awful when it comes to human rights.
I'm not going
to
say
but
we're not
I,
shifty.
If you were going to go and, like, to New York, we're supposed to go to America next month. Are you scared that you're going to be hassled? But when you talk to Westerners about visiting
well,
the
no,
East,
because the context
then they're
is
like,
there,
oh my
isn't
God,
it?
You're going to get,
yeah,
like, fucking
because the whole
somewhere.
Culture and historical context is there of, like, a Briton going to America special relationship, we're all buddies.
No.
That's like the whole fucking story,
we
right?
See. Jake's that's a big, like the whole story. Boy.
No, but it is. Those cultural and historical narratives of stuff have a big impact on how people
well,
view things.
Thing
and
the
current
me.
Media has not played into making sure that Russia is even negotiated with or talked to or anything.
Of course, because they can't.
Amping up anti-Russian sentiment.
Because they want the war. Because they want the war. The military-industrial complex wants to benefit. The fucking NGO-industrial complex wants to benefit. The weapons manufacturers want to benefit. You know?
Just be careful around Chernobyl, boys, okay?
Because
that's like a fucking natural... Well, not even natural. That's like a fucking thing just
it's
waiting
scary.
To pop off.
They want the war and they're stoking the flames of everything around it. And it's going to spiral out of control. And that's the thing I'm the most worried about because... Most wars begin because of a series of events and hostilities that are like allowed to spiral out of control.
I see it potentially being like a Franz Ferdinand situation because I read all this stuff about aircraft carriers. They're positioning aircraft carriers and like all of these big ships and stuff. Sorry, we like tried to record this once and I like completely blanked on what that fucking massive ship's name is. Aircraft carriers that fucking launch planes up.
Yeah.
Massive fucking things. They've been like positioning them in case of emergency to like assist Ukraine or wherever the fuck. And it's just like, dude, stop putting all your stuff around where that conflict is because if it just accidentally or whatever the fuck... you get hit, that is World War III.
Mm-hmm.
So can we not?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just like, I don't know. I don't even know what is the best situation in this situation.
Yeah.
I'm not a fucking foreign advisor.
No.
It's not for me to fucking have an opinion on this shit.
No.
I'm
but
not even 30.
We're in closed media bubbles. So we don't get the whole, and we don't get the whole story. And that's the thing is, like, I don't know how you could be somebody... Especially, I'm not even that old, like I'm only 28, but there are people who are like older than me who are like literally cognizant during like 9/11 and all of that shit.
Yeah.
I was what, like fucking...
I was playing
seven,
Pokemon.
Yeah, I was like 7 years old. I didn't care about anything that was going on in the world.
I was playing Pokemon Gold.
But even growing up and revisiting it and all of that stuff, like... gives me pause. Like so many different things have happened since then that show that you can't trust the official narrative, that you can't trust that you're, you know, not being sort of pulled into a consensus of some sort that isn't giving you the full story. And I really don't understand how people don't get this. Like in the Western media is literally unanimously singing the same fucking tune.
Yeah, that's freaky.
And the fact and dissent is like so fucking repressed. Even the most sincere forms of it.
It's like those media
it's like
moments.
Fucking
you know
freaking
when,
me out. It's making me freak out.
You know when they like attacked Rogan like a few like a couple of months, and then you saw that collaboration, and they've done it with a number of things. Where, like those moments in the media where it will be on one channel and then kind of zoom out into
mm-hmm.
two channels, into
mm-hmm.
five, into
mm-hmm.
ten, and they're all literally saying.
The
exact
same
thing. Or a very slight variation on that same fucking script.
But the thing
script.
Is, you saw the same amount of homogeneity emerge after 9/11. And that's the reason why you can't look at these things through a purely emotional lens. Like, I'm not here to convince you one side or the other or to tell you what to believe. You can believe whatever you want and come to whatever conclusions you feel your conscience can bear. About it. That's your business. But looking at things through an emotional perspective doesn't give you the facts of what's going on. And the fact of the matter is the same thing happened with 9/11. Like, yes, what happened? The attack on American soil was a moral atrocity. Yes, the people who orchestrated it were fucking psychopaths. But at the same time, the cell was also funded by, like, in part by, like, Al-Qaeda was fucking, what turned into Al-Qaeda was funded by the American government. And then all those things that were manufactured consent for because of that moral atrocity, people got on board with because of their emotional attachment to that specific event. And even now, most people admit that they were wrong about the chain of events that followed that period.
Yeah.
So no matter what your attitude is in this situation, one way or the other, you have to be able to dissent. You have to be able to debate things freely and talk about points of contention. You have to be able to have a a dialogue about these things that's rational and that's not based in tribalism and emotionalism. But the libs love that shit. It's been their whole mode of operation for the last, like, fucking since 2016, is using emotional manipulation to achieve political ends.
Yeah.
They love a good humanitarian catastrophe. They love it. They, like, fucking wank off to that shit. It makes them feel like they're big. Like, fucking Sean Penn is an example. Didn't he fucking fly over there immediately?
Yeah. I mean,
and then
especially
you have a bunch of libs in this country who are signing up to fight for in the Ukrainian forces. And then there's been ads. I've been seeing ads on TV, British television, and also on TikTok, where they're saying, oh, here's how you can go and join in the Ukrainian, go fight for the Ukrainians and all this stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, that's pretty insane.
What is happening?
But it is like a type of media manipulation that's gotten people to that state where they would do something like that, I think.
Yeah,
because even the video I saw where there was some young lad, like 25 years old, like younger than me, just like getting on a ferry to, or like wherever the fuck, whatever, he was in a lorry or whatever the fuck, to get to fucking Ukraine to go and fight, and he's just there saying like, oh well, you know, first it's Ukraine, then it's the rest of Europe, so you just got to like keep Russia like in check or whatever. And, like,
no,
all this
but
sort
it's
of
the
thing.
Same
it's just
emotionalism
like
that drove people to donate millions and millions of dollars to Black Lives Matter, a lot of which cannot be accounted for now and is being investigated. It's the same emotionalism and the same sort of emotional manipulation that, you know, that sort of liberal left constituency, especially in America, has used to like seize hold of like major, of like basically most of the major institutions of America at the moment.
Yeah.
They use that. And people call me cold all the time or say that I'm heartless or that I don't care. No, I'm detached, because you have to be in order to see the truth. If you see everything through the lens of catastrophizing and ambulance chasing and doom scrolling, you'll never be able to parse through information in a rational manner.
Exactly.
And that's what a lot of these people make their political decisions and impulses based on, is based on like spending days doom scrolling in bed, looking at footage of things and being propagandized, and, you know, not through like rational excavation and discussion as well with others who you may not share perspective with to test your ideas about what's going on. Like, but like, yeah, like no debate is tolerated. We can sort of dissent now, but once things start getting more hairy, you're going to see it become harder and harder and harder to ask questions about this.
Yeah, it's a very scary time. Just from like all of the information I've read about it, feels like definitely NATO could have like negotiated better to prevent even getting to this point. Let alone just have not done more expansion and all of that stuff over the last 20 years. But even at the very minimum, could have been like, yeah, okay, we're not like gonna make Ukraine a NATO member. That's where we'll draw the line. Okay, we agree. What's your move? Yeah. Because we've now backed down and we've negotiated with you.
Yeah.
What's your move now? Like, that's the most sensible thing, I think, like, you could have done in that situation. And they just didn't fucking negotiate at all and was completely fucking hard line. Like, no, there's no concession to be had.
Because they want it. They want it.
Yeah, so that spells it out for you, doesn't it?
It is, isn't it?
It spells
and
it
like,
out for you.
Of course, innocent people get caught up in the middle of it and it's sad. But, like, at the same time, like,
yeah, I feel sorry for the Ukrainian people for sure, because they're getting a fucking rough deal with all of this shit.
I feel sorry for the people in Yemen too. I feel sorry for
people all over
the world. There's been wars going on like for the last fucking how many years?
Exactly. Well, for my whole lifetime.
Yeah.
So.
And nobody is like putting those countries' flags in their bio or whatever, or crying tattoo tears on streams because of it.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Put things into perspective and like, think rationally, practice detachment, like don't get caught up in the whirlwind of consensus and emotionalism, you know, like that, like in this day and age, especially if you want your instincts to remain sharp, you have to keep a clear head and not let words or big ideas or really emotionally charged things get you emotionally invested immediately.
Yeah.
Whereas most people, as soon as they hear a few buzzwords, they're already emotionally fucking invested in the thing.
And you know what? I also feel sorry for the fucking Ukrainian people, man.
Yeah,
not Ukrainian people, the fucking Russian people.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the Russian
people. Because, like, their economy is going to be fucked.
Yeah.
For like a foreseeable while.
Well, I'm sure China will step in to help for sure.
Let's fucking hope so, because I'm sure, like the whole world has basically fucking shut them off. And that's not like, yeah, sure, it's like maybe hurting Putin and the elites, but they've all got what they need to fucking survive. They've prepared for this.
Yeah.
The fucking ordinary Russian person is not the person that's fucking prepared for this. No. And those are who the sanctions are really going to hit.
Yeah.
And who all of this economic measures are really going to hit.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to really hit all the bad people, you could have strategically done that, but you didn't. You've gone after mass, like all just widespread everything.
Well, they're also like
even petty things, even petty things like we're not going to release the movie in Russia.
Or like FIFA, this whole FIFA thing.
Oh my God, yeah. We're going to get rid of the Russian team and the Russian league or whatever the fuck from FIFA 22 in solidarity with Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's just fucking stupid.
But doesn't this stuff give you pause, though?
It does.
And also, you know...
But that's what I'm saying. All the things that give me pause about virtue signaling in culture, generally, you can then, if you can follow the money,
and you find where the money is.
But the money for this, because it's like, I don't know, clearly just arms deals or whatever the fuck that's totally like obscured from any kind of credit rating system.
Where were neocons? What party were neocons in during the Bush, during the 9/11 era? They were the Republican Party, but now the Democrats are the party of neocons, and like, even all the media outlets like CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, all these like big media, liberal media outlets, they're all staffed by ex like security state agents and fucking glowies of all stripes, and even some ex politicians and stuff. Like that whole apparatus now has like the hegemony that has the hegemony under its entire like umbrella. So the consensus that all this quote-unquote virtue signaling and emotional manipulation that you're talking about leads back to is that entire apparatus.
Yeah.
Which is that's where it all leads back to, the Democratic Party, the neocons in the Democratic Party, the sort of apparatus of the Democratic Party. And that's not to say that Republicans aren't guilty as well. They set up a lot of the tools that are being used now.
Yeah.
Including like some of the censorious stuff that we're seeing, but
it's another thing that you could also lose your job over if you like publicly made the wrong thing.
The culture of shaming, the culture of using emotionalism and emotional manipulation in order to force a consensus. This has become the liberal mode of operation. This is what
people,
they do.
Before people say I'm being a Alex Jones about it, and no one's lost their jobs over like supporting Russia or whatever. Yeah, they have. The fucking guy that is the lead developer or creative developer for this game called World of Tanks, which is actually quite a popular game. I've never played it. He's a Russian guy, I think, or of that Eastern European descent, and he said that he supports the two regions that declared themselves for Russia in Ukraine. And he supports the Democratic, the Republic or whatever that those places have like staked. And then the company was just like, the publishers, the game was just like, oh no, we don't agree with that. You're fired.
Mm.
And made a big like public statement saying, this person said this, we don't agree with it, he's fired. Just like,
they are stupid.
Don't. Isn't like the first part of that sentence enough to be like,
if you want to say you don't agree with something, that's one thing, but then to take those extra steps, that's just fucking extra. And it's also like, it's just stupid. The other thing I feel bad about is the Nigerian students in Ukraine. My mom called me like very early the other morning to yell about it.
Was
talking about some distant cousin that, because I've got cousins up there that like study and stuff in Eastern Europe. I have one cousin in Russia, and then I think another one is
double agent.
Is it Slovenia? Jake thinks I'm like a glowy. There's already a rumor going around.
Yeah, I've read some Kiwi Farms articles about you, Angie, that suggests that you are actually
that
a glowy.
I glow in the dark.
Like, you got cousins in Russia and shit. This is all adding up.
Look, I'm Nigerian. We have people everywhere.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
We're cosmopolitan people. That's the reason why. But yeah, the Nigerian students thing. My mom called me really early, like yelling, saying a lot of really like crazy shit about. I don't even want to repeat it.
Oh my God,
she's hilarious. But yeah, she was like really pissed. And I didn't know the extent of it until I like researched into it. And yeah, the treatment that they received has been really disgusting.
Yeah, absolutely. And these are
not
abysmal.
Beggars. They're not like vagabonds. They're like students who are studying shit like medicine and like fucking, you know, fucking people who are training to be educated professionals.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are in the country legally and for a purpose. But they're being treated like beggars. They're being treated like lower. Like there was one Nigerian guy who even said that they were letting animals on to buses, like people's dogs and shit, before allowing blacks on.
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
That's very fucked
up. Yeah.
How the fuck?
Like, it's so, I was like, it doesn't surprise me though.
No, but then
it doesn't surprise me at all.
But
though.
It's the sort of thing where, like, if you know your population is that
hostile
and anti-black and all the rest of it, you shouldn't even accept African students.
Mm-hmm.
Like you should that. Why are you accepting people to pay you money?
Because
to,
they no, pay no,
you're,
double.
But you're accepting those people and putting them in a hostile environment.
But the reason why they accept them is because Nigerian students pay double, or foreign students pay double
of
what
course.
The Ukrainian. It's the same thing everywhere in England. The universities are full of foreign students. Like my course was basically mostly foreign students.
Yeah.
And like it's normalized or whatever. But these are people. The thing is, it's like it's an economic thing because like. In Nigeria, the people who are from the upper middle class and the rich people are the ones who can afford to send their kids to do their education in the West, or who even migrate to the West to begin with or whatever. But then the sort of working class to middle class people who are tradespeople who have some kind of profession or business, often it's too expensive to send them to the West. So they'll send them to Eastern Europe instead to get an education there. Because having a Western education or Eastern education is more prestigious in Nigeria than being educated there, except for at very specific universities that are very difficult to get into, basically.
Yeah.
So, like, UNILAG is still, like, big, and, like, there are other big universities in the north and stuff, but, like, you have to be, like, top to get in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are a lot of Nigerian students globally around Europe. And then in Western Europe, of course, because of like colonialism, there's like lots of Africans everywhere.
Yeah.
But there is a weird like pernicious racism when it comes to Eastern European people.
Mm.
Like the first time anyone was ever racist to me in my entire life, it was a Polish guy who called me the N-word, which I found hilarious because he was like, he was like a service person or whatever. Like,
right.
And like, it's like, that it's like the class dimension thing. Like there's like a clear discrepancy between a Western European person, quote unquote, culturally and like a black person. But when it comes to Eastern Europeans and blacks, especially in the UK, economically, they've been on that same kind of working class level.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems as if they held on to the racism thing harder than even the normal British people do because it lends them some level of prestige over the person who's black that they like work with or are serving or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's because Eastern Europe as well is seen as, which is why I don't buy the whole like, oh, we love Ukraine, we care about Ukraine. The West has never given a shit about Ukraine or Eastern Europe at all, except for to exploit it or for cheap labor, especially during the whole Blair period.
Mm-hmm.
That was when a lot of cheap labor was flooding into the UK from Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And the way those people were treated was terrible. Or to use it as a battling ram against Russia, basically. So the Eastern Europe to Western Europe is almost seen like a backwater, which is the reason why I feel like there's some special holding on to racism there, because it makes them feel superior. Like they're still white people, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I mean,
Even though like most of my nannies and like au pairs growing up were like Eastern Europeans and stuff, like.
It's a weird one. Like, I've only been to Poland once, and that's the only Eastern European country I've been to. But, like, I went to Wrocław, or you probably pronounce it some other way, but, like, that's how you spell it, like, W-R-O-claw.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's a nice airport, and, like, half of the city's, like, built, but it's, like, similar to
it's
Nigeria.
Like Lagos.
It's very similar to Nigeria
like
in lots of ways.
It's like Lagos.
Not where, like, the half built bits are kind of actually in the middle of the city. It's kind of more like there are whole edges. Yeah, there are like whole sections where clearly someone had an idea and then
just fucked off it, yeah.
and it's just been left there looking like, and the guy was like, my taxi driver from the airport, like I was pretty shocked going through some of the parts we were going through, but and how bumpy the roads were and shit.
They don't know anything about Africa.
If I remember right, wasn't it the capital of Poland?
They assume that we're all living in mud huts and like swinging from trees. These Nigerian students get to Eastern Europe. They see that it's pretty similar to where they're coming from back home or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the Eastern Europeans treat them as if they're like dirt on the floor. Yeah. And these people are training to be doctors and shit, and they treat them like they're fucking dirt on the floor.
It's delusional.
And like that, like I don't talk about, it's hard to talk about like racism now because of all the woke shit. Because so much of dialogue around racism is around like either pathologizing people who don't deserve it or kind of drumming up some sort of moral cover for some other person's will to power or whatever. But racism is a real thing. And the places where you see it the most invoked are in places where there's like deep insecurity and a desire to have a leg up over someone. But as much as those Nigerian people are suffering now, the Nigerian community globally, which is quite powerful and is becoming more powerful, is behind them. There's been a lot of fundraising done for them. We have the resources now to protect our own people by like pulling together or whatever. So like, fuck them. I doubt they'll probably keep their kids. If I had a kid in Ukraine who was studying, I definitely wouldn't let them.
Oh yeah, they'd be back now, yeah. Right? There's no
like,
way.
No, but, well, absolutely so not.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you, okay?
Here we go.
100% honest with you about this, okay?
There's going to be some Nigerian guy who's going to like, do a scam.
The first thing I heard about it was that, you know, oh, fundraising for the Nigerian students that are stuck in Ukraine. And my first thought was literally just like, they missed out on the NFT grift and now like they're trying to find a wangle and angle for a fucking Ukrainian grift.
Oh, wow.
And look, it's working.
But then
you saw all those videos and stuff and it's like, okay, hopefully all of that money is going to where it needs to go.
I'm sure there are like, some operations that are fake. And that
Matt,
are
I worked
not,
at a charity call center yeah, in there, Brixton
I'm sure there are
when
some,
I was
but
a
I don't
student.
Think all of the story, I don't think all of the stories are fake. And there have been, you've seen, like, there's been, like, news about, like, buses that have been rented in order to get them past the Polish border and stuff. Foods that's being sent to the embassy. I'm not saying that anyone should do anything or whatever. This isn't some sort of moral claim. Nigerians are not like, especially the ones who can afford to travel abroad or send their kids to abroad, when they're not like poor, starving people.
Yeah.
If they need to wire money,
they'll do it.
They'll do it.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Which is like, the reason why, so, I mean, it's horrible, it's rude, but it's just like one of those things where people hold on to racist attitudes a lot of the time for like to feel superior,
yeah,
when a lot of the time they're not, which is the funny thing.
Well, never the time they're not.
They're not. Well, sometimes it is rich people or whatever, but like
they're not superior. They're just fucking, they were born in a different set of circumstances.
Yeah.
99.9% of the time.
But it's like weak and dumb. You know? It's weak and dumb. It's so fucking weak and so stupid, especially if somebody is actually like bettering themselves. Like I could understand, like it's human almost to have contempt for people who you feel are lower than you or whatever. When somebody is clearly like trying to better themselves and have an education and is trying to climb the socioeconomic ladder. Yeah. I mean, part of the reason why Nigerians are doing so well globally at the moment, maybe not in terms of the country as a whole, but in terms of like the educated classes or whatever, you know, pretty much present everywhere, is because of that high emphasis on like education and achievement and working hard and also trying to like bring yourself up out of hard circumstances, which is a story that I've seen play out in my own family and in many of the people's families around me. So when it affected me personally, because I'm like, shit, these kids aren't like sitting around taking drugs. They're not there mugging people or hurting the country. They're literally there to go to fucking school.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
It's not cool. It's not cool at all.
It made me upset. Personal fucking, personal level, mate.
You saw yourself in those Nigerian students.
I know, I saw my cousins. I saw my, like, fucking, I was like, nah, fuck that shit. For who? For Svetlana? Yeah. Like, if Becky is being racist, that's one thing, it has a sting. But if Svetlana's being racist to me, that doesn't have a fucking sting whatsoever. It's like, shut the fuck up, Svetlana. Like, stop.
Oh dear.
Stop.
Well, I guess my one piece of actual advice for almost, I think this would apply for any situation, but like especially this situation, don't be donating any of your money to fucking anyone, right? Because like even those charities, bro, it's all in admin. They all cake it off.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck all of it goes to any kind of cause that anyone's ever fucking talking about. Even the GoFundMes. It started out like years ago. Oh, it's so great. We got this guy a fucking house and all of this stuff. You pick it up the story like 2 years later. Oh, yeah, they've been in legal battles the whole time because they actually raised way more money than the person originally thought. And she doesn't want to actually give it to the homeless person and all this kind of crazy shit. Like, you read about it all shit all the time. So even the GoFundMes that are set up with the most heartfelt, lovely,
emotionalism is the tool.
No, mate, don't keep your fucking money.
And that's the thing,
keep
is these days, if you say, hey, pull back, detach, think for twice, people are like, you are evil, you're heartless, you have no heart whatsoever, you have no heart, and it's like you allow emotional manipulation to pull you in every which way. I couldn't live that way. I would go mad. I could not live that way if every time something... And the time I experienced it the worst was during the whole Black Lives Matter thing where there were all these visceral images of black people being killed constantly and stuff. Like, that fucks with anybody.
Definitely.
Any human being that sees another human being dead is going to feel something. But then I was... But it blinded people from being like, okay, so what is the narrative around this being used to manufacture consent for? What is this organization? What are its aims? How is the money being spent? What are its plans? What are its goals? Well, what will it accomplish?
Even that,
you can,
like,
still see what happens in America with police as and police brutality and all that shit as a moral catastrophe and as a moral emergency, while still being critical of the organization itself. And this pattern is in everything from the way they dealt with January 6th to the truckers convoy, to Black Lives Matter, to this war, is using heightened emotionalism and demonization in order to manufacture consent for certain aims, you know?
I mean, I can't even imagine what they're going to write when disclosure happens. It's going to be fucking nuts, bro. They're literally going to be like, they're coming to overtake us. There's aliens with ray guns and fucking this and that. They're going to like ramp it up
to
the max.
We already have mass hysteria to a maximum at the moment. I don't think we can handle it. First of all, the mass hysteria around COVID was pretty much enough as that I could handle. But then all the mass hysteria that emerged, the immediate consensus that emerged around everything to do with this. And I mean, it's even more understandable because war is scary and war propaganda is powerful. Like, it reaches you on like everything that we care about, from land to homestead to family to outside aggressors. Like, this is primitive tribal, like, fucking lizard brain shit.
I think it's important.
So it's hard to like resist and to stay grounded when like lizard brain shit's like.
I think it's an important time as well, on the precipice of something as massive as World War III. Everyone that laughed at Ted Nugent, okay? All the men, especially, that laughed at Ted Nugent for crapping his pants to get out of Vietnam. Okay, I want you to ask yourself a real hard question right now.
You're not getting drafted.
Would you, dude?
They're not going to.
I know that's not how they
do
warfare now and all that. But just ask yourself that. But ask yourself this: if the nuclear bombs and all that stuff didn't exist, and the proper, arguably that's very old masculine, proper warfare was still going to be going on with like guns and stuff.
Yeah.
You bet your ass they'd be fucking conscripting people. And so you ask yourself right fucking now, if you got conscripted to go and fight in Ukraine.
Jake,
would you shit your pants?
They're not gonna
to get out of it, or would you fucking
Jake,
go?
Listen, you're like a,
and I gotta be honest, you're like I'm 50-50 right now.
You're like a music media guy.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know if I could survive out there. I'll just be a body, mate. I'd just die. I'm not eating caviar.
Or whatever. You're always eating fancy shit out in Soho.
There's some nice
not just delis. Seafood. Fucking Hakusan. Some nice
seafood restaurant.
Like, whatever the fuck.
Some nice Japanese restaurant.
Like, seriously.
Look, Soho is the fucking one of the hearts
that's
of
like
food,
your,
okay?
That's like
so
your
there just
thing
happens to be a lot of nice
where
lunches
you're
around.
Basically every day. And, like, you're not going to be useful for anyone's war at all.
I know. So would I just
so
go
I don't
there?
Think,
so would I go there and just
die
on conscription? Would I know? Would
love.
I go there knowing full well that I'm going to be fucking useless and I'm just going to die? Or would I shit my pants and stay where I am
what
and
I'm
potentially have
is,
a very successful music career? Because that's exactly
gonna,
what Ted Nugent did.
I think they've done,
like, you know,
I think they've done away with the conscription model, precisely because.
Too many people are shitting their pants.
No, not just that. The post-industrial world has created a different type of man. There are still men who are traditionally masculine, for sure. But those men, unfortunately, tend to be lower on the economic ladder these days. The fucking bug men, eggheads, are the ones who are dominating the highest paying jobs or whatever. So
that's
who
true.
Tends to go off to war? Men who are like on the bottom of the economic ladder.
Yeah.
And who doesn't, who's and those are the ones who are most attuned to, well, not attuned,
well, you've
but
got
who
the
could
officers
be useful.
And
no, we,
the
that's
soldiers,
only if you
right?
do the
yeah.
British model where they were like sending pompous aristocrats along with like these like working class boys.
To like boss them around and like have like
no.
stupid fucking military strategies.
Oh,
be like, yes, tally-ho, you do that now.
Oh,
you go, like, oh my god, man.
Oh my god, oh my god. Imagine that. Imagine that. Well, I mean, they still do. Imagine Prince William and Prince Harry are part of the fucking royal, like, navy or some
oh,
shit.
Oh, they all
know.
Did it for show, didn't
yeah,
they?
Were,
all of them did some little fucking stint of something
but
just to get
like,
their,
like
medals on a suit when they get
Prince,
up to a wedding or something. It's
Prince
bollocks.
Prince Harry tried to make it seem as if he was, like, a proper squad.
Yeah, they all make it seem like that.
Doing all this, like, PR stuff, like, running away with helicopters and shit.
Yeah. He was, like, in a helicopter in Iraq. And they're like, he could have been shot down. It's like, why was he there then? Because he wasn't doing any fucking fighting, was he? Let's be fucking honest.
Well, no, but the thing is, they know that.
What were we even doing there? We weren't doing any fucking good at all. Like, he shouldn't have been there at all. The best PR move he could have done would have been to have been like, fuck that. That's a really stupid fucking thing. How woke are you, Harry, that you went and fought in a fucking Iraq war?
Yeah.
So woke now, isn't
yeah.
he? How, like, where's your questions on that, Megan? Where's you holding your own fucking boy accountable for his potential war crimes, all right? He's participated in bad stuff.
There was someone who wrote that every picture that they take together, he looks like her hairstylist.
Oh, dear.
Because he's just, like, standing beside her, like, looking really, like, I don't know, weird.
Cucked.
Like, cucked and, like, sexless and stuff. It's, like, weird. But, yeah.
He was a sex icon in this country.
Who, Harry?
Yeah, the ginger one.
Was he a sex icon?
If you're a royalist, and that's a lot of mums, you probably
moist
fancied
in the
Harry,
pants
mate.
For fucking Harry,
I've
dude.
Definitely heard
that's
conversations with aunties going, oh, Harry, me.
Oh my god, maybe among, I didn't
that's
know.
That's what I'm saying. Mums and that. Mums and that all the royalists
oh
and all
god.
Of those people, they fucking
god.
Go wet in the pants for Harry, mate.
Oh my god. Well,
they did do until he fucking stabbed everyone in the back.
He ran off with that American guy. I think that's what your family
until he went up to the Queen and went for the watch.
I'm pretty sure that's what your family thought I was gonna do with you, that I was gonna call them all racist and then like run away with you to America.
Oh my god.
Oh my god. But yeah, enough war talk for today anyway.
Yeah, it's crazy shit.
It's been really surreal and weird. And okay, I say be detached and like practice sort of a stoic kind of point of view when dealing with like information or whatever, but like also express your emotions about it when it's appropriate, and also don't let it cloud your judgment, and don't feel like you are obligated to perform those emotions for other people too.
Do you know what the super, super loopy fucking conclusion of all of this is?
What?
Because you know, like, okay, so you know, like, in the 2019 Alex Jones episode with Eddie Bravo.
Yeah.
He's talking about how he had just been completely wiped off the internet and how he's coming for Rogan next.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the truth, bro. All right? In that same episode, he's talking a lot about breakaway civilizations.
Oh my god, here we go.
And about how the elite want to like or have been preparing to formulate this breakaway civilization. At the same time, as there's also like other pretty loopy, far out there ideas about the US government and Israeli governments and all these other kind of governments being in some kind of like, you know, cahoots with extraterrestrials and such.
Dun, dun, dun.
So what if they just drop all the fucking nukes? They get on the fucking ship. Breaking away, bro.
That's fucking dark, dude. I don't want to think about that. That was like the plot of like American Horror Story, I'm pretty sure, in one season.
And really?
It was like Satanists like drop nuclear bombs. They were like Silicon Valley Satanists that like dropped nuclear bombs and destroyed America. And then like there were witches. I don't remember the plot. It was like really hazy.
Oh my God. Well, my one sounded way cooler anyway. It included the Illuminati and aliens. So fucking,
I don't want to think
know.
About that shit. It's fucking depressing. Like my whole like childhood was marred. Well, that's kind of dramatic.
Marred with war and
no,
images
that's not
of
what I'm,
bombs.
That's not what I'm trying to say.
And towers falling.
That's not what I was trying to say. Fuck. Okay. Jesus Christ. No, I mean, I had a fear in childhood.
Yeah.
It's a bit less dramatic, of nuclear holocaust, because when I was, my brother was like into anime and stuff. And mm-hmm. when I was like, I think like 6 or 7, he was watching this one anime that was made by a guy who survived Hiroshima.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the
anime. Oh, I think I
anime.
Know what you're talking. It's a very famous one.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
But it was like so graphic.
It was like, I'm not going to fuck around. This is what would have happened.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, no one wants to see
thing
that.
You could see as a child. And I saw it because he's like just having a nice day and his mom is there.
Yeah, I don't think you were supposed to see that as a child.
His mom's face like melts away and he's there like, Tosun. I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. I was like I was like 6 or 7 or something like that.
Yeah, you're not supposed to be watching that kind of shit at that age,
dude,
babe.
Dude, I had two older brothers. You
no,
had two older brothers
I mean, yeah,
too.
So when you're 7 and 8, I watched the South Park movie, okay? I didn't watch like fucking nuclear fucking war, like a realistic rendition of fucking nuclear apocalypse on a fucking,
it really fucked me up. And
you
I've
know,
been so
that's not cool.
scared. It's like in the back, it's like one of those thoughts that I have in the back of my head at like 3 in the morning of like, what if, and like have all these catastrophic imaginations. And then again, my mom was a big fan of the Terminator films. I know, funny image, a Nigerian like auntie who's like a fan of Terminator or whatever.
Ah, the Terminator.
It happens. It happens. And I remember that scene again. I was very young, and that scene, was it Sarah Connor? She's like standing at the,
mm-hmm.
and then boom, all the, that fucked me up too. So like I'm having
the Terminator
like,
one that fucked me up when I was little was fucking Terminator 2, when it was that liquid dude.
Oh yeah.
And he like goes through the bars. Dude, that fucked me up. I was like, there's no fucking way. How the fuck did they do that? Like, I just didn't get. I was too young to get the concept of like VFX and stuff.
Oh my God.
I was like, how the fuck did he do that? I just thought it was like a David Blaine trick or something.
Oh my God. Actually, I thought the same thing about Toy Story when I was little, that they like put magic inside toys and made them come to life. But the other day I saw a little bit of Toy Story, like a clip of it on like TikTok or something.
Yeah.
And it was, they look janky as fuck.
Dude, give Toy Story a fucking break.
I know, but
I think
I didn't
they developed
how
that shit on like
looks.
Floppy disks and stuff.
Yeah,
so
but it
you
looks
gotta
fucking Uncanny Valley, dude. It looks like a Grum, that like Tim and Eric.
Doesn't look like Grum. That's very mean. Dude, Toy Story does still look pretty polished.
No, it looks fucking fake.
It looks
and
kind
gay.
Of like, it looks kind of like a, like, I think it looks like PS4 era. Video game cinematic graphics.
Yeah.
For sure, at least. For like the stylized version of what it's trying to do. Obviously, you know, more realistic versions. Yeah, sure. But for the cartoony style that it's doing, 100%. That's like cinematic level fucking PS4 graphics, man.
No, they figured out like the algorithm for what makes kids like stay glued to the screen
through
now.
Through like Disney testing centers, dude. Like that's how they know that. That's how they know that stuff.
Through MK
is they
Ultra.
Literally like will give parents and like people like fucking free passes and shit for Disneyland and stuff, and then their kid will come and fucking, well, that's made up, but they'll get kids in to come and like watch loads of different versions of characters. I imagine they give them all for free pass and shit. They're not going to be paying for child. You can't pay for child labor. So I assume that's kind of the arrangement you would need. This is a tangent. But they get all these fucking kids in and they like will get the character. And literally the only difference with the character is like the shape of their eyes or a particular angle even of just their eyes or something like that. And they have different focus groups of like, you know, whatever, however many kids per focus group, and have each one watch the same thing but with the different eyes. And then get the reaction of all those focus groups and then determine what makes kids react the most positively.
Even
interviews, questions have afterwards of like, do you remember the name of the characters and like all of that kind of stuff that makes you form attachments to things, which is why I think characters like Elsa probably like popped off in terms of like a fascination and like a merchandising thing and all of that stuff way more than like Toy Story did for Woody and Buzz. And maybe that's just the like extension of how capitalism grows and the markets and all of that bullshit, but also I think it's kind of all of that crazy children psyop shit that they're doing.
I didn't know, it's fucking weird.
They do that stuff, man. They did like a lot of them, especially people like people like Pixar. They weren't actually even like, I've talked about this before, they weren't like a movie studio, they're a technology company. So doing stuff like that's just research and development. That's like not creepy and psyopy in like that kind of way. That's just them like developing.
Speaking of creepy and psyopy, did you see how quickly the Simpsons came out to declare solidarity with Ukraine, which is strange considering the Simpsons aren't like real. Like, whose stance is it supposed to be? The voice actors, Matt Groening himself, Fox.
Is it even Matt Groening anymore?
Is it Fox's stance? Like, what stands with Ukraine in that sense? Or is it just a baseless piece of
the brand of The Simpsons?
That's so stupid.
The corporate entity of The Simpsons. The corporate wing of Disney that is known as The Simpsons.
They made it look like fucking all the characters had been put under MK Ultra, like brainwashing. They all had like wide eyes and like blank looks on their face and they were holding Ukraine. It just seemed like uncanny and freakish and weird in the same way that a lot of this like shit seems. And then my second favorite or least favorite moment or whatever from this whole debacle was that If I Was Your Mother lady.
Oh my God, that was fucking that cringe. That energy, like, bro, like, terrifies me. Like, women with like that
awful,
kind of
energy.
With that energy just fucking terrify me for sure.
Yeah,
oh my God, authoritarian women. Quote unquote good meaning authoritarian women.
Girl
like
bosses.
Oh my God, the Labour Party is full of them these days.
It's really
scary, bro.
They're
it's
like
really
white women with like some kind of vendetta.
I don't see how people see those
terrifying
type of people as more comforting than someone like Jeremy Corbyn, who looks like my granddad. But maybe that's just because he looks like my granddad. I don't know. Like, I feel like he probably looks like a lot of people's granddads, whereas these people look like a, like that stern, horrible parent
Nurse
that you
Ratched
saw at
vibes.
Like, yeah, Nurse Ratched, or like when you were a kid at primary school, there was like a kid that had a mum that was fucking brutal to them. And like, you were like, you know, for me, I was always at after school club, so it was like you were the last kids or whatever. And there was always that kid with the fucking brutally fucking strict mum like would come at the end. And it just gives me that energy. Oh. And it like, maybe that's why I'm so terrified of it. Maybe I've just done my own therapy on the podcast. Like, that's like
Jake
why I'm so terrified
of it. He's afraid of the dark Thonian mother. He's afraid of the dark side of the feminine psyche. But I feel like this, despite it being around the war or whatever, this whole If I Was Your Mother thing perfectly encapsulates that like dark side of the feminine psyche, that devouring mother energy, because like it's like based in this hubris, this idea that like I with my womanly charms could do anything, including avert nuclear apocalypse or whatever.
Yeah.
If only I had been the one in charge. If only I had been the one who had the power in this situation, type of thing.
If it was my breast you suckled at, all the goodness would have flown from it.
So, like,
and you would be full of wonder.
You'd be full of wonder.
And you would never think about war and hurting others.
It's just like, it's like female social aggression is like pretty much allowed to run wild to the point that it's almost seen as a virtue these days. Yeah, we talk about male social aggression badly constantly all the time, and it's not as if male social aggression isn't bad. It is, but female social aggression also exists and is equally as bad.
It is, but
especially
it's like,
even just among women, as a woman among other women, female social aggression is fucking brutal to deal with.
It's that overcorrection though, where I feel like let women get away with a lot these days, like in terms of like being aggressive like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, even I was watching this. This is a silly like how, comparison.
It's
but
like this obvious narcissistic thing of her to come out and be like, I could solve the war with my mommy milkers, which is basically what she's trying to say.
Of course.
I could fix it. But then the fact that you see people cheering that on, cheering on that sentiment and being like, oh, it's this wonderful thing of empowerment, and she's showing the strength of women, and her poem is this like wonderful piece of art. The fact that there's anyone who's defending it in that way gives me serious pause. Because again, you can't call it what it is. You can't call it narcissism. You have to call it brave and stunning. You have to say that it's like, you know, this wonderful thing.
I'm just going to say it as well. Fucking that type of poetry, spoken word poetry, is cringe as fuck, bro. And if you're into that, that's fucking cringe. But like, you should be ashamed.
But the thing is, most of them know that it's cringe, but because they're so narcissistic, they think that because it's me who's doing it, that means that it's okay.
No, bro. It's not okay when
it's
anyone
cool
does it.
It's coming from me.
Okay.
It was. She's an actress on like 90210 or some shit.
Yeah. Some like show that like was cancelled however many years ago.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
it's just trying to get relevance. It's trying to like whatever.
And it's socially acceptable for people to do shit like that. And then if you say something about it, you get dragged through the mud and they say that you're evil, even though this person is using this as an opportunity to aggrandize themselves, to feign concern. Like the whole Gal Gadot thing, the fact that it was libs dragging her the most during that time. It's like that she just did exactly what you guys do all the time. She just said the quiet part out loud.
Yeah. And also, I think like, I don't know what it was for her, because she's Wonder Woman. Like, she was already, like, signed with a big deal with DC and all this big stuff. So, like, I don't get how she felt the need to become more relevant. I don't know if it is because...
It's because she's not liked.
She gets the vibe that people don't like
her.
Yeah,
it's because she's not liked. And she's because she's fake and inauthentic. And
you think she's
robotic.
A glowy?
I think she's a plant. I do. I think that Gal Gadot is a psyop. But yeah, it's because she's fake and she's inauthentic, and she did that.
A psyop to get men interested in Israeli women.
I mean, do you think she's hot?
I mean, she's a good-looking girl for sure.
I think she's good-looking.
I mean, if there's any quality that she's got, she's a good-looking girl.
I think she's hot, but she's sexless. She's hot in like a sexless way, like in an Anne Hathaway
kind of
way.
That's just her personality. I think she's got a good body. I think she's got. She's a good-looking
girl. But you know she'd
girl.
Be stiff in bed, though.
That is part of it.
That's the
part
thing.
Of like
you
what
know she would
doesn't
be
make
like,
you fully
you know,
go. Oh, I would go for Gal Gadot. Do you know what I mean? Like someone like Drew Barrymore, for example.
Yeah, she's not
you're
as
not
pretty.
Like,
but
she's not as
be
pretty
a fun
exactly.
Time.
She's not as pretty as arguably time. As Gal Gadot. But you know for sure that's going to be a fucking wild night. So like you're well up for that immediately. Gal Gadot, you're like that's going to be like muscle soup and a dinner, and like I'm going to go to bed or whatever with half a sucked dick. Like this isn't.
Half a suck dick.
This isn't fucking good. Oh no God. One wants this.
Yeah, like she, you know, that's the reason she did it, because she like wanted to be liked. But like, I keep having this reoccurring nightmare of like the nuclear bomb being announced on BBC and this somber voice telling us that we're all fucked in typical British fashion, and then them putting on Gal Gadot's Imagine. As you know, we brace ourselves for impact.
Oh Christ!
That's been the reoccurring nightmare that I've been having over the last couple of.
It does feel like a fantastic time to rewatch
Doctor Strangelove. No, I couldn't
yeah,
do it.
Absolutely,
I could not
like,
do it.
The last time I watched
it.
That film, I was on an acid trip, and that was a really that. As much as that sounds fucking crazy, that is actually a great movie to watch when you're on acid. Like. All of the humor in it is so layered that you can hear and see all of it at the same time. That it's fucking awesome. But now watching it with all the current context as well, I feel like there would be some jokes that land differently as well. You know
I mean, I just couldn't right now. Like I wanted to rewatch Terminator the other day and I was like, maybe not.
Terminator is like, whatever, bro. Skynet's not fucking real.
Yes, it is. Like, it is real, know, Jake.
Well, yeah, meta.
It's
meta
fucking real.
Or whatever, right?
It's fucking real, dude. It's fucking
know.
Real.
It's crazy. I don't really, I bury my head a lot of the time. And I've been getting into new software and stuff and trying to not read the news because otherwise you'll just like go fucking insane.
I take breaks. I take long breaks. I don't doom scroll on a rule. I don't doom scroll. Like I go out to purposefully seek information rather than just like absorbing it. Cause I feel like that's part of what makes people so like easily propagandized these days is because like as humans we're like naturally drawn to trance states and there's like net positive trances like when you're really like into something that you're doing.
Yeah.
But there are also negative trances like compulsive behavior, addiction, all of those other types of trances, and like scrolling through your phone constantly is a trance. It's like a negative trance. You're stuck in a negative trance.
Yeah.
And when you're in a trance state you're more vulnerable unconsciously. So like a way of avoiding being propagandized and falling for bullshit narratives is to avoid getting sucked into that like negative cultural trance and like taking time to ground yourself away from it.
Definitely.
And like there's this weird thing, especially among my like lib leftist friends, where they feel like them being informed about the minute details of everything, they feel like the fucking fate of the world depends on it.
Mm.
They feel like the fate of the world literally depends on their like knowledge and their ability to like regurgitate it to others.
One thing that's
and
been
they stress themselves out and get really neurotic, but it's because they're avoiding other things they could be dealing with in their lives most of the time.
One thing that's been, you know, I guess predictable is that even through the worst situations of all, you're still going to get some pretty dank memes. I saw one the other day that I saw one yet today even that was literally like just the photo of like the details of a Wikipedia event entry that someone's made, and it's called the Battle of Technoland, which is just like a techno club somewhere in Ukraine, and it was just like one Russian soldier occupies this state. It's like what the fuck? This is the most stupid thing. The Battle of Technoland.
The whole like Slav thing has become a quote unquote vibe over the last couple of years as well. Why is that?
It's become affiliated with like lo-fi house and like raves and that kind of thing.
Is there much of a scene out there?
There is definitely a big electronic music scene out in Eastern Europe. That's fucking for sure. Yeah. They're big on the techno and fucking drum and bass and lots of like some artists I've worked with and stuff. They say that a lot of their best shows have been like out there. It's been really cool. Yeah, they go fucking nuts for it. It's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, no, but just like this whole Slav aesthetic that's been like embraced by millennials or whatever and zoomers, not really millennials because we're like aging out, but like zoomers mostly, sort of glamorizing like post-Soviet decay.
The nihilism, mate.
Yeah, and that's, like everyone that whole feels theory nihilistic. That like we're getting to the point in Western culture where we're losing that sort of golden retriever optimism in our own quote-unquote ideals.
I believe in nothing, Lebowski.
Yeah. Okay. Like the illusion of democracy is falling and shattering before us every day. The people who once claimed to be the most in favor of freedom are now like the most rigid conformist authoritarians. People are becoming disillusioned in the illusion of like democracy and in the illusion of choice and freedom and all of these different things.
Yeah.
And like, that was what once separated us from the quote-unquote East, was that the West was idealistic and the rest was sort of according to its own view, driven by principles and driven by certain freedoms that other parts of the world didn't get to enjoy, and that we were these wonderful, enlightened, liberal democracies. And that was what was used to manufacture consent for war in like throughout the whole of like the fucking 20th century and like before.
21st
and, yeah, 21st century as well. Like, you know, and that no people no longer feel that way. So that sort of golden retriever idea of values or a system of shared values has gone out the window. We don't know what the West means anymore or what it stands for. And that's one thing that I feel like the reason why the left
it basically
is,
means anti-Russia and anti-China
yeah,
and anti any of their allies.
That's what West means now. there's no cohesive narrative that joins people together in the West.
Well, it's like liberalism in a way.
That doesn't mean that there isn't a cohesive narrative in terms of like the working class as a concept, for instance.
Mm.
Shared interests that we have among each other as people who have no power. But when it comes to like the hegemonies right now, there really is no illusions covering the naked face of like globalization and like global capital. That's what's like, and it's two factions of that warring against each other.
Yeah.
That's very little to do with like the people who are like on the ground. And people are starting to realize that now, which is why I think the whole sort of Slav aesthetic thing is now being celebrated in culture. I think that that's kind of what it's hearkening to. I mean, obviously some of it is just vapid, like aesthete bullshit. But yeah, some of it is also that too. But
it's the nihilism for sure.
Yeah, it's a nihilism thing.
It's the whole that, because that's the Russian attitude, yeah, which is like what's funny and appeals to people.
Yeah.
Because that's what resonates.
Yeah.
Is this like it's absolute nihilism.
Yeah.
It's all meaningless.
It's all nonsense.
And
everything
will happen around me and I'll do whatever I can to have my fucking, to squat and have my beer on the corner.
Yeah.
Not to sound stereotypical.
But I have actually seen that happen though.
Oh, that's like a common occurrence.
In London,
yeah,
everywhere,
definitely.
You see
not
it.
Squatting, that's like mean. But like, but sometimes it'd be squatting.
I've seen the squatting.
But like,
I've seen the squat.
When we lived in Fulham, there was like this corner next to the corner shop we would go to all the time. When I guess like there was some construction job happening or something, but all these proper like, yeah, working class Polish lads would all meet up just on the corner,
yeah,
and just all pop a can of Skol and just be drinking, yeah, Skol at the end of the day and,
yeah,
just be chatting. It's, yeah, proper jokes.
I've had some good Eastern European friends. One of my close friends now, he's Estonian. I had a really good friend who was Lithuanian. I've had a good friend who was like Russian as well. Like I don't have like any issues with Eastern Europeans at all, except for when they get testy about like race. It's like, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah, I don't know if they
were
really...
Even, like,
where does
we're going to talk about, like, white hegemony. The West is the fucking place it's at. Like,
where does that even come from them, though?
Because you're not part of that.
I don't
Stop
really
it.
Seem to remember in history any of the slave trade
that's where
being
the
involved
word slave,
with Russian.
The word slave even came from the word Slav because of the fucking... Like, there's
sure.
been, it's not as if there's been friendship between these two
but
fucking...
What's the cultural context for there to be so much... hatred or white supremacy? Is it just white supremacy for political tool usage?
I mean,
or like what's caused the Russian, or not Russians, but like Eastern European people generally, I guess, to have a pretty negative opinion of black people?
Because they feel like it gives them prestige. Because they've been so, I really do. I think it's because they've been so robbed of prestige because of the prominence of the West. They look at the West's economies thriving, culture, hegemonic, and they've sort of been these backwaters that have struggled economically for decades and decades and decades and decades.
Mm.
And they're like on the level of like some of the world's, like Ukraine also qualified on some, if I remember correctly, like there's the government qualified as like one of the most corrupt governments in the world at one point or some shit.
Yeah.
Like they've had a lot of issues in terms of basic infrastructure and all of these different things for a really long time. And they're not really seen as part of like the shiny parts of Europe, if you know what I mean.
Look,
so
like,
I feel like racism for some people is their way of being like, well, at least we're better than that guy over there.
You know what I do? I understand what you mean. Like they've not had a stable society, but like from all the images you see of like 70s Soviet Russia, I think it is, that's probably the most stable period, where you see all of that incredible technology that they were developing. It was like a fun rivalry almost, especially as like a synthesizer lover, because you would have like all of these Western companies making all these synths and Russians just being like, fuck that, we're not buying, we have our own fucking things.
Yeah.
And they were fucking incredible and like so much cool audio technology and stuff that they just completely developed on their own, and like all of this mad, all the spaceship, man. Like there was a point where they were really doing something right, clearly, and had enough to fucking rival.
Well, I mean, there was. I mean,
you know,
the whole.
It couldn't have just been shit
of,
the
no,
whole time.
Of course
is what I'm
not.
Trying to
but
say.
Like,
it must have been since the downfall.
There's a ton of factors. The scramble for Africa also played a huge role in it, because mostly Western European powers were what carved up Africa and
yeah.
its like colonial spoils, which enabled the countries to become like a lot richer and developed faster and stuff. Whereas other parts of Europe didn't really participate in that. And the ones that didn't participate in that, it took them longer to sort of establish their economies and things like that. And not only that, like the Soviet collapse, all of these different things have impacted those parts of the world. And like the West hasn't really been helping, quote unquote, as it claims to, places like Ukraine and others develop. They're more interested in how they can use them strategically against Russia most of the time.
Of course.
And it wasn't always shit. Of course, I'm not shitting on the contributions of Eastern Europe. Fucking, didn't Russia invent chess? And like Russia's given ballet. It's given us a lot of amazing things and all this stuff. And same thing with other parts of Eastern Europe. But I think that because of the loss of prestige that has happened over the years, that loss of greatness or of being seen as great.
That's why I don't know why Britons and Russians don't vibe a little bit. You know,
well, because we're still one of the shiny European countries, despite the loss of power in terms of empire and prestige. We're still like a NATO member and like have clean tube stations.
We were pretty big dick in Europe, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're a big dick or whatever. Still in that sense, but that's basically what these wars are raging over, and what a lot of the tensions in the world are over: hegemony, power, prestige, all of those different things. And it's not as if the West isn't also guilty of it too. Why else would the West be, especially the powers in the West at the moment, be gung-ho about wanting to go to war again?
The opposition for Putin has been saying some pretty spicy things. I don't know if you've been seeing any of that. I can't remember what his name is. Alex something, begins with N. He's very, like, I don't really know what his aims are, just to get Putin out, I think, because he's been in there for so long. He doesn't, like, he's for democracy. But he wants to really try and bring democracy to Russia, which is a very honourable idea. Yeah. And he's talking about, like, this is the time to, like, act against, you know, if you're against Putin and stuff. He's like, the bravest people I've seen are, like, the 7,000 nearly people that were just arrested and put in camps, basically, for protesting in Moscow.
Mm.
And if you want to put an end to this and you want to put an end to the war, you have to get rid of Putin. So act like now, basically.
Mm.
Very much like, you know, paraphrasing there. But
get rid of him and replace him with what? And
well,
with
he
whom?
Would. He,
and
basically
it's not as if
him.
The West doesn't have.
Basically him, yeah. Because he has been like the opposition, the main opposition leader to Putin.
How do you know the West isn't in his ear attempting to push some kind of coup of regime change?
Well,
who knows what's going on? Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? Which is the reason why I'm detached. I'm not emotionally involved because I'm watching and I'm trying to figure out what the fuck's going on.
I'm not attached to it, but what I'm saying is that it could end in ways that none of us foresee.
Of course it could.
And
I'm
not
hoping...
even that's what that Russian guy in the podcast I was watching would say as well, is that Putin's end will be something that even he does not predict or see. He will not resign. He'll die in power. So, like, his end will be, like, unforeseen.
Well, we don't know what's going to happen. And I'm hoping that we're not going to repeat the same mistakes again, like, as a species. But then again, none of us are in the driver's seat. The people who are at the lever of power in our world are some of the most uninhibited psychopaths that you could imagine.
Yeah.
So that makes me afraid.
Definitely.
And those are the people who we should be skeptical of and angry at, not each other, number one. And number two, in order to navigate the situation and keep a clear head about what's going on, like I've been saying for the past hour, you got to fucking pull back a little bit with the emotionalism shit.
Yeah, definitely.
And all this performative bullshit as well needs to stop.
It's all like way over anyone's heads.
Yeah.
And I don't think like people don't have a short memories maybe, but like it doesn't matter how much you're against whatever, anything like this. Anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much you scream and shout about it.
Yeah.
They will do whatever the fuck
they
want.
They did it with the Iraq war. How many millions of people came out?
A million
out?
People, which is one in 60 people at the time in the UK.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That's like fucking the biggest protest we've ever had.
Yeah.
And still they went to fucking war. They still did all the stuff. Any protest since has made no fucking iota of fucking difference on anything.
And they're able to manufacture consent so quickly too. Like,
and this is
the way that the consensus formed. Literally without even the war or perspective of war being in the air for like less than a day. Like,
but this is why
shows that they've got the system down. They know how to manufacture consent.
This is why Putin says there's no democracy.
Yeah,
because it doesn't matter if you oppose anything.
Yeah,
like the will of the elite of whatever that are whoever in charge at the time.
But that's the thing is, most Americans don't want to buy that because that's like the thing that they feel as if. Look at how crazy Americans get during elections.
It's like on every paper,
American,
though.
Every American friend I know becomes insufferable during election seasons. They become absolutely neurotic and they behave as if the fate of the entire universe depends upon the candidate. And then the following year after the election, they're commiserating either because their candidate lost, or they're being complete dickheads because their candidate. Americans, like, literally the idea that their democracy functions, that's the reason why they got so angry at Trump and all of the people who were saying that there may have been foul play during the last election, because in their mind democracy is seamless, despite, you know, all the anti-democratic stuff that they happens constantly all the time.
It's also like you know, you're the ones crying fake fucking election meddling or whatever when Trump got in and all the rest of it, so it's only when it benefits you, right? You know, you don't want to actually look at the system.
Exactly.
You don't want to actually correct any of it. You don't want to actually make voting representative or fair.
No.
Or even like there to be like the fact that you should have an actual opposition position.
Yeah.
But people to democratically choose from.
Massive consensus. Not one actual US politician so far, if I'm correct as of when we're recording this, has come out full-throatedly in skepticism over like the stuff that's going on in Ukraine right now.
Like, if you're anti-war, who do you support right now?
You don't have to. I'm not saying you have to support either side.
No, but that's my point. Like, if you were just to hinge your bet on anti-war, which is very simple, like there should be someone that's probably advocating for doing that stuff and expanding and getting involved in military fucking whatevers.
But the people who are
for this
are
and
getting
that.
Called.
And there should probably be a side that's going, yo, we should stop doing that.
No, the people
how
who
the fuck are we
getting
in a situation
called
Putin
where apologists. Like, there was one. Actually, no, there was. I think it was either a senator or someone in the media, I don't remember, who basically came out last week and said that the Biden administration, it would be unconstitutional for them to put troops in Ukraine or to declare a no-fly zone without first asking Congress, basically, mm-hmm. without it first going to Congress, because it could be considered an act that could potentially cause war. And some Democratic fucking senator then came out and said, are you running for mayor of Moscow? Like, basically called him a Putin apologist and assassinated his character. Anyone who's even skeptical about any of the narratives gets called a Putin apologist or a supporter of Russia, or that you're on their payroll. Like, all the crazy stuff that, like, Russiagate was, like, building up is now, like, come to manifestation now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This has been a long time coming, and even Noam Chomsky, despite the fact that they've MK altered him, and they, like, the Democrats, like, wheel him out.
Oh, the author of
Manufacturing Consent.
Yeah, it's I remember Noam Chomsky.
Yeah, like, even Noam Chomsky back in the day before they, like, got to him, before he became a glowy, he was even warning about the escalation that could possibly occur because of NATO's aggressive actions in Ukraine towards Russia. He even said it. And it's been both leftist academics and even academics on the right who are anti-war. Because even during Iraq war, there were right-wing public people who were against the Iraq war openly as well.
Yeah.
So no matter which side of the political spectrum it's coming from, they get demonized. But not to say that Noam Chomsky has been demonized. I don't know what his position is right now, but over the last couple of years, he just seems to take whatever line the DMC pushes him to take. Basically, he's just like a complete, like, naked Democrat now, and like he'll subvert any of his principles so long as it serves the agenda of, like, the Democratic Party. And that's what a lot of these people who call themselves leftists are, and, like, put on this radical posture and talk about the working class. They're just fucking Democrats.
Yeah.
They're just Democrats.
Yawn. Next, please. Something new, something different, an actual alternative.
I mean, we hope, I hope that it dies down. I do.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see.
I'm just going to have my head in Touch Designer and like fucking ignore everything and try and make some mad fucking visuals for my music. That's like my goal.
Yeah.
To read anything about Ukraine for like the next few days at the very fucking least.
I'm going to Cambridge on Saturday to speak, actually. Yeah, I got invited to Cambridge to speak on a panel at their debate society. So I'm going off to like Hogwarts.
Is it
going to
be filmed?
I don't know if it's going to be filmed. I don't want it to be filmed.
Should I record it anyway?
You can like get clips. I'll put some clips up and maybe some pictures or something. But I hate shit like that. Like, I don't mind talking to a room full of people or whatever, but I also have trauma because the last time I did something like this at a university, it was with a bunch of like fucking bread tube freaks.
Oh yeah, that was
weird. And I hated it so much. It was fucking awful. Yeah. But this one, they didn't really tell me like much about it other than the topic or whatever. So it's just kind of cold showing up, but.
It's going to be funny because I think they said, oh, you know, come at this time. And if you come at this time, then you can come for lunch or whatever, or come for like a meal or something. And it's just like, this better not be fucking vegetarian food. And I'm going to ask them that with a dead look on my face. And if they say yes,
this is a university thing.
I'm just taking you by the arm and we're walking out and going to go get KFC or something.
No, this is like a university thing. It's not a lefty thing at all.
Let's fucking...
Say yes to stuff like that anymore.
They've invaded all the spaces. I wouldn't be surprised. It's all going to be a vegan, meatless fucking dinner. And I don't mind a vegetarian dinner, but don't like, I don't know. There's just like, you got to have options, bro.
But yeah, that's going to be interesting. We're going to be, my brother went to sixth form in Cambridge. So the last time I went up there, I must have been when we were dropping him off and I was probably like 12 or so when he was in sixth form. So yeah, that was the last time I've been to Cambridge. I haven't been to Cambridge in a long time.
Posh. I've never been to Cambridge.
Well, you're from Oxford, so isn't it like
rivalry?
Yeah,
don't need to go to Cambridge because we've got our own fucking everything that Cambridge has.
But even better.
Yeah, but even better because it's
actually, I've been to Oxfordshire more recently, so I want to actually compare the two towns and the two universities.
You've never been to Oxford, like Oxford City very
much. I've been to Oxford City
only
with
like
you,
once.
But
only
I
that
didn't
once.
Go to the university. That's the one thing I've not seen.
But we didn't like walk the canals and do all the nice stuff. We just kind of did a little bit of shopping and went back.
We went to the hippie shop and like fucking...
I got to take you for a proper
like a
walk
bar
around.
Or something.
No, we didn't. What I wasn't
did
smoking, but I've been smoking bongs since I've been with
like,
you.
I bought like a stupid like scarf or something. I don't know, something hippie-ish, or, like some boots. I don't remember. But yeah, it would be fun to go to Cambridge. I haven't done public speaking in a long time, and being in we've been out of lockdown, but I mean the year and a half that we were in lockdown, I think it really messed up my social skills.
Yeah.
Like, I feel really, like, spurgy whenever I talk to anyone these days.
Oh, dear.
Like, I don't know.
Unless it's me.
Unless it's you, because you're like, my boyfriend. It's all good.
No, I've not been working from home since, like, this time last year anyway, man. Like, I don't, like, so for me, I don't know. I've probably had less
of an
impact.
We went from extreme hard lockdown to, like, no lockdown at all.
Yeah, but still, not really, because it was still, like, work from home, like, if you can, and everything else. But it's, like... I need studio.
Yeah.
And I got to like meet people. So.
Yeah. Be a man about town.
Sorry. It's no working from home. Like,
what else is going on? Oh yeah. We're booking tickets to go to America in April as well.
Yeah.
We're going to Vegas for the Grammys for Jake.
Fuck yeah.
This is going to be fun.
Can't fucking wait.
Yeah.
I'll do a little vlog whilst I'm out there for the Patreons. So you can see me gushing and see me maybe like bump fists with some cool people. Or maybe they'll just ignore me and I'll be like lame the whole time. Or maybe I'll win and then they'll all want to talk to me.
Ooh.
And then I'll be like, fucking yeah, sorry babe, I'm not coming back tonight. I'm chilling with Snoop Dogg.
Oh my God. I'm excited for you. That's going to be so much fun.
It'll be great fun.
It's going to be good. What else is going on?
I doubt I'll get to chill with Snoop Dogg though.
Your dream. Why don't you buy NFT land near him in the metaverse?
Damn, that would be a conversation starter. Oh, for real?
Oh my god! What else? We have a book club, by the way. We've started the first episode of our Cosmic Trigger book club is up on the Low Society Patreon. If you missed the actual live book club, so you can catch the first episode. And you can catch up and join by joining the Patreon. We also do bonus episodes. You also get access to our Discord. You also get access to all the Angie Speaks stuff as well, because I've merged the two Discords together now. And I just released a video on Angie Speaks' channel on the metaverse, hyper-reality, and the floating world, Japanese ukiyo-e art tradition. So
it's one of your best, if I don't say so.
Oh no, don't say that.
I think it is.
I'm like hideously self-conscious about my video essays, because I'm self-conscious about the format in general. Like, I love making them and they're fun and they like are my little form of self-expression or whatever, but the format of like YouTube video essay is something that's like less and less appealing to me. Like, I want to find a more, I guess, creative way of expressing myself. You know what I mean? And like, but like, I'm doing a lot more written stuff now for publications, which is really good. And there's a lot more opportunities in that direction for me. So like, but then in terms of like self-expression, I don't know, I'm experimenting at the moment, but, it's still a really fun video to make, so that you can check it out if you're not already tired of, listening to my hot takes and my, weird, artistic self-consciousness and bleh. But yeah, you can check that out. Any other news? Anything else that we want to cover before we head out?
Nah, mate, I'm going to Vegas, baby.
That's all you've been thinking about.
It's like my big news. I didn't think I was going to get a ticket. I was like so surprised. I was like,
I can't go in. I'm going to Vegas with Jake, but I can't get into the Grammys because he only got one ticket, which fucking sucks. I have to pay
$1,000 if I want to bring someone with me.
Yeah.
And I'm not actually a successful music producer yet, so I don't have $1,000.
I mean, you are successful if you've won a fucking Grammy.
Well, I don't know. Is that
they're
the
paying you the medium-sized bucks right now?
Yeah. Is that the merit of success? But is when soon. you can go to the Grammys and afford to bring your plus one?
Yeah.
That's like the measure of success.
Right now, you're getting the medium-sized bucks or whatever, but very soon that won't be the case, especially with this Grammy nom. So you know, count your lucky stars.
It'll be very cool.
And I doubt this will be the last one that you get nominated for either.
I'm a bit terrified because, like, if it actually wins, like the artist that I was doing it with, Stephen Wilson, like he's not going because he's like, you know, touring. Busy, he's busy and stuff. So fucking if it wins, I'll have to go up and get it. And I was kind of hoping that Stephen was going so that he could just kind of get it and say something and I could just be next to him and then fuck off and not have to say anything. But now, like, if it wins,
then you
I've
got to
go up there and I have to be like, thank
you're
you.
Gonna become a meme.
She's just like, thank you. And just like, fuck off.
You're gonna like become a meme overnight. If you don't do anything dumb, because you get really drunk and like Larry and like out of control. So please don't become a
I'll
meme.
I'll just be like smashed on White Russians already and I'm not expecting to win, and then it will win, and then like I'll be really drunk and pick up the thing. Like, this is fucking a lot heavier than it looks, you know.
It's like, we need to go shopping for your suit. I can't wait to dress you. I'm gonna be so
I gotta go get me a snappy suit.
It's gonna be my life-size Ken doll. Oh my god.
It's gonna be cool. It's gonna be very fun.
But yeah, that'll be a fun trip. I'll be waiting for you in the hotel for after the Grammys, and then we'll probably go to Joshua Tree on our way back to LA, which will be really nice. Hang out in LA for a little bit and then get on the plane back to Blighty. And then, yeah, maybe by then you'll be a Grammy winner.
Who knows?
Either way, you're a nominee. So
yeah. It's still awesome that I get to go. I can't fucking wait. It's going to be amazing.
Oh my God. And yeah, I'll spill the tea.
I bet they're not only going to serve fucking vegan food there. I bet it's going to be lush.
Steak.
I bet it's going to be shrimp.
No,
I bet it's going to be everything
dude,
you want.
You're thinking of 80s Hollywood, 80s excess Hollywood. Hollywood has become soy now.
It's not Hollywood,
now.
Bro. It's just music industry.
Well, it's still Hollywood. It's become soy now.
Look, it's not going to be bowls of cocaine and fucking, you know, speedballs everywhere.
Like,
but
green juices and shit now. Like,
yeah, it has become a lot like that.
Yeah. Everyone's lame now.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Rock and roll is dead.
Like, yeah. But yeah, I'll spill the tea about how my talk at fucking Cambridge went in the next bonus episode that we do on Low Society. One is well overdue, but I apologize. I've been busy writing articles, been busy making this fucking video, just running around doing work and shit. So, yeah. But it was lovely talking to you guys today, and I hope you didn't miss us too much. We will be back again, and we won't leave a big gap again either. It's just been unusually busy. But thank you for listening, and we'll catch you later. Goodbye.
Bye.